Now, we will carry on with our series of studies in the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that as you study the scriptures and the parables of the Lord Jesus, you will be absolutely amazed as to the skill, the accuracy, the astuteness of the Lord Jesus Christ in teaching. The challenge, however, is to do more than just understand or read the parables, no matter how interesting they may be. The challenge is to consider the truth that these parables contain. Let them soak into every part of our life, our heart, our mind, our very soul, until this truth resides in us, and it will actually help us, drive us in our faith, in our life, and in our ministry. Now, as we look at the parables, it's always good to take note of the things that we have noted about the parables. We have noted that some of the parables are single, they stand alone. Some of the parables are, they function together, they work together, so they are doubles. Sometimes you have a series of three, so they are triples. Now, not too many of them, but they are not to be taken for granted. Then there are parables which we call them related parables. Related and yet not exactly the same. For example, we talk about the idea of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the one hand, it is about comparing it to a wedding feast. And on the other hand, same concept of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this time with ministry entrusted to us and how we must be faithful. And so we have related parables, and this one particularly is significant because it covers a lot of areas which are related. So to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ returning only as a wedding feast would be inadequate. We must add on, and today we are going to look at the parable of the talents. So again here, as we look at what Luke portrays, the idea of the parable of the mina and the parable of the talents, they are similar and yet they are not identical. And so we need to study them because they are related. And yet the points of emphasis for each particular parable can be quite different. And each one is quite pointed. And so we need to struggle with the text, study the text, immerse ourselves in the teachings of the Lord Jesus so that we may be able to understand, imbibe the truths contained therein for the blessing of our lives. Now, we're going to consider also what is known as a parable with illustrative features. Now, we will consider that later on as we come to that particular parable. But this morning, let us look at the study of the parable of the talents. And we want to see how they are related. In the Gospel of Matthew, they are put together. One, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is something joyful we should look forward to. And that is absolutely no reason for us who believe in the Lord to fear the second coming of Christ. And that is an unfortunate fear that is there, but it should not be. It is a wedding feast to which we are invited, and we should look forward to that with the greatest sense of joy. But it is related because the second coming of Christ is such a huge subject, and there is a work that the Lord wants to entrust to us, to be given to us, and we need to be faithful to the very end. So we're going to take a look at Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. The first thing about studying of parables is always to note the features of the parables. And the features have much to teach us. because they will help us to understand the parable as a whole. Well, 25:14 begins with, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country." Now, this is different from the one with the minas, because the other one has to do with the idea of a man going to receive a kingdom. Over here, the comparison is that of a man traveling to a far country. We're not told for what reason. It's just that he's gone to a far country and he will not be there physically for a long time. Well, that's the first feature. Then we read about how a man called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Well, that's what he wanted to do. So he's going to entrust his possessions, his property, his funds over to his talents, to his servants. And the word you employed is the word talent. Now, many people mistake the word talent for gifts. So a person is talented in running, and people ask, what do I do with my running ability? That's not the kind of talent we are speaking about. The word talent is a biblical word over here that describes literally money. In the language of Luke, it is called a mina. Similar idea, it's just another terminology. So while it is called money over here, it is not to be mistaken with mammon. See, money becomes mammon when we are obsessed with it. But money is simply money. It is just simply a talent or a mina, something entrusted to us. The danger is when it becomes what Jesus says, unrighteous mammon. By itself, you can call it by another term, and you can call it a mina, you can call it a talent, you can call it in modern language, money, finance, whatever. So each one is given, one was given 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. So what does that mean when we talk about using of the talents? And this is important. A talent is like the amount associated with a mina. The point of it all is that it is a huge amount of money. So if you were to ask yourself how much that is, let's imagine a worker earns 1 denarius a day. Now, if he earns 1 denarius a day, at the end of the year, he would have earned only 365 denarii. Now, if he were to carry on with 1 denarii a day, a denarius a day, at the end of, 10 years, you multiply it by 10, and you won't get very far. But this is now 6,000 denarii. That's a huge amount of money. It will be not possible for the servant to actually earn so much or save so much. But it was the property of the master. And so he entrusted it, one with 5 talents. So that's 30,000 denarii, if we are looking at the worth of it all. That's a lot of money. Or for that matter, 2 talents. And then we take a look at how he went on to give another one talent. Now, as we take a look at it, the features, we look at point 7, where the Lord of the first servants returned after his long journey. And then, of course, he asked reports. Right, verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. In other words, he was going to help them to become accountable. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. In other words, it was 100% increase. 5, 5. And so he said, "Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." Now, this is responsibility and accountability. His Lord said to him, now watch these words, well done, good and faithful servant, you were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, all these things are important to note. So there are literally five things that the master said to his faithful servant. One, it was a word of commendation. Well done. Two, there was praise for being good and faithful. Three, there was specific mention of the effort put in. You have been faithful over a few things. 5 talents to a worker is a lot of money. 5 talents to a master, it is only a few things. It's a question of perspective. And then he said, I will make you ruler over many things. In other words, many more things will be entrusted to you. The question is whether the person is able to and worthy of that trust. And then, of course, the final word was, enter into the joy of your Lord. Obviously, the Lord was very pleased with this particular servant. Now, the second servant was also giving his report, and you see a very, very clear account. Okay, and watch this. He also, verse 22, who had received 2 talents, came and said. Now, there was no complaining. Lord, you know, you give that person 5 talents, you only give me 2. How come you only give me 2? There is no such complaint at all. He said simply, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. Then we read the words. His Lord said to him, well done. Same words. Good and faithful servant. Same words. You have been faithful over a few things. Same words. I will make you ruler of many things. Same word. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Exactly the same. So a person who has 5 talents, and a person who has less than 5 talents, he has only 2 talents, the commendation would not be less than one who has been particularly successful in 5. You see, the point of it all is not how much you make or how much you were given. 5 at another 5 is 100%. 2 at another 2 is another 100%. The point of it all is that there is commendation for all those 5 things that we need to take note of, right? Now, then we come to another one, and this one is the person who had 1 talent. Now, even if it does not seem to be much, now, 1 talent is actually a lot of money, right? So again, we go back to, you know, do some mathematics. 365 days a year, you earn 365 denarii. Now, you're looking at 6,000 denarii. That would be several years of hard earning and saving to find that amount. So the 1 talent is not a small amount of money at all. It was entrusted. And so the third servant came and he said, these are his words. Lord, I know you to be a hard man. What has that got to do with responsibility? It's just an excuse. Now, Lord, I know this is what you're like. You reap where you have not sown. Right? And you gather what you have not scattered. So you expect this result. You will reap. You will gather. Well, Lord, I was afraid of you because I know you to be a hard man. I was afraid. So this is what I did. I took your talent. I buried it in the ground. And here it is. Your talent is returned to you. Now, in the mind of this particular servant, he has done his part. In fact, he's done quite well. Why should he not be commended? Right? Supposing the Lord wants to reap and to gather, what if he lost the money? Then the Lord would not have been able to reap, he would not have been able to gather. So he has done nothing. To him, doing nothing is a good thing. Now the question is, what do you do of all the years that the master has been away? What have you done? Frankly, nothing. Well, the rebuke of the master was given rather than a commendation. And so his words are very, very clear. First, he called him wicked. See, that is the whole point. The other two servants also knew the master to be a hard man as well. They had the same master. Well, so if you want to view a master in that way, that's your privilege. The question is, how do you actually see your own heart? Well, the master saw his heart and called him wicked because of the twisted way he thought things, because of the wrong way in which he interpreted a thing. So he called him wicked. Secondly, associated with this, but the problem is that this person is actually a lazy person. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the lazy person. Now, the lazy person will, of course, earn nothing. What does he do? Well, frankly, nothing much. You can lose it all. Now, is it possible to lose thing if you bury them in the ground? Actually, the answer is yes. There is a story told about Charlotte Moon. They call her Lottie Moon. In the Civil War in the U.S., 1861-1865, the Confederates, they were in the South, called the Confederates, were losing the war, and the Union soldiers were coming. And Union soldiers were unfortunately burning homes, looting whatever they can find. And that was kind of unfortunate. So Lottie and sister took all the gold, silver, jewelry. They were a very wealthy family. How wealthy? They owned 3,000 acres of land. How many workers did they have? 800 workers. That will tell you how wealthy they were. So they actually buried all the things in the ground, hoping that the Union soldiers would not find them. What happened to the gold, silver, and whatever? They lost them because they never found out where they were. It is very possible somebody can come and dig the ground and take them away. I mean, this could happen. This was just an excuse of the wicked and lazy servant. Well, this is something that could actually happen. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. All right? If the argument is true, what could you have done? You could have walked to the bankers and tell the person, look, I've got this huge amount of money. How much interest would you give? Even if it is 1%, 2%, you know what? It will still be better than depreciation because the talent is now less in value after several years have gone by. I think so. Whatever excuses you may come up with, they are just not valid. And the master said, at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. And so this was a problem. And so he said, take this talent and give it away to the person who has got 10 talents. Now that is an interesting statement. Right? Then here comes the lessons from the parables. Now, what are some of the important lessons that we must learn from this? Okay, now watch this very carefully. There's a parallel, there is a very close parallel, the 10 minas in Luke 19, 11 to 27, right? Now, there are similarities. Why the similarities? One, it is to reinforce a truth. We have been entrusted. We must be responsible and make sure that what has been given to us will not lose out. We cannot not use the things that God has given to us. So this is to reinforce the sense of accountability and responsibility. Secondly, it is to exhort a person to practice diligence, to practice goodness, to practice faithfulness. That was the point. Well done, good and faithful servant. We must be responsible. An exhortation. And then also a reminder that the Lord wants to come back and then want to know how we have done. Now, we have been a church for 47 years, so we must bear this in mind. What have we done in 47 years? If we had remained in 20 Jalan Lakum, and then we tell the Lord, Lord, you know, we know you're a hard person, and we cannot be doing more, and so on and so forth, we would be literally rebuked for laziness and for wickedness. But we took this to heart, what the Lord said. We want to be responsible, we want to be accountable, so we develop the work until we are here at 301. And while we cannot grow anymore physically, what we have done is to redouble our efforts so that we can continue to grow, be responsible, be accountable, and if it is not in Singapore, then it must be in India, or in Myanmar, or in Perth, and wherever the Lord may lead us. See, the challenge is to be accountable and to be responsible for whatever God has entrusted to us. Now, it is important that we realize that's where we are. That's what we do. That's what we must do. Our Sunday school began in a small little way with children over in 20 Jalan Lakum. Today, we have got more Sunday school teachers than we started out with students when we first began. But of course, if we total the number of people who attend Sunday school, we are looking at hundreds of people. And as we should, this is our responsibility and our accountability, right? Now, on one part, there is salvation. There should be a sense of joy. In the parable of the five and foolish virgins and the five wise ones, the sense of joy was there. A sense of identification with the Master was there. You see, they anticipated with joy the salvation, finally, that they would have from the Lord. Over here, the salvation is there as well, because we are just happy to serve the Lord. And we want to serve the Lord while we wait for His return. We're not just wasting our time. We're not doing something which we like alone. We are waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus, and we want to wait faithfully. We want to wait wisely. What's the best way to do it? Serve. And that's what we want to do, to serve so that the responsibility entrusted to us will result in accountability that we can give. And so we don't just want you to be Sunday school students forever. We want you to be able to know the Lord's word, know your faith, and one day share your faith with your friends. And perhaps if opportunities are there, become a Sunday school teacher yourself. This is something that we really want to look at. Serving the Lord should be the most natural, the most enjoyable, the most you know, natural thing we want to do if we understand salvation properly. So salvation and service really ought to go together. The principle that we want to learn from here is stated very clearly in 25, in verse 29. To everyone who has, more will be given. And we have seen this. We have seen how the Lord has given to us according to our needs. The Lord has met all our needs and more. And you know what? More will be given. That is the joy and the thrill of it all. You mean really? Absolutely. This is a truth. More will be given. And He will have abundance. There is no need to worry about this thing at all. But that is true. What God will do in His blessing is that He will give abundance to whoever is faithful. Now, this is a wonderful principle of truth. And He will have abundance. So we need not be fearful. If I work so hard, will I have the means? Will I have the ability? Will I have supply? Whatever. The principle is true. He who is faithful, that person will be blessed with abundance. But there is another principle that is the opposite of this one. And what is that? It is stated very clearly, 25, 29, from him who does not have. Now, what do you mean by he does not have? He already has. What it really means that he has not found that responsibility, he has not built in him the accountability, he's not built in him the faithfulness, the good-heartedness, and so all the things that he has been given are only physical. But if he has not got all these other qualities inside him, whatever has been given, God can take that away. So the question now is, are we even saved? Now, this is a question that all of us must constantly ask ourselves. Am I really saved? If I am truly saved, where is my joy? Where is my desire to serve? Where is my desire to produce 100-fold? But you see the parable we read in Matthew 13, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. This person, 5 talents to 5 talents is 100-fold time. 2 talents to another 2 talents is 100-fold. The Lord does not expect more than 100-fold. He does not need you to have 1,000-fold. Just 100-fold, but will be fine. But even if we don't have 100-fold, 20-fold, 30-fold, the banker may give that. And he can take what you have and say, this is what you can have. And so there will be some interest. The point of it all is we grow. The challenge of it all is that we are found faithful in whatever has been entrusted to us. And so the danger here is that this unprofitable servant here is now cast out into outer darkness. What does that mean? See, some people believe that they are saved when they may not be. The scribes believed they were saved. Nicodemus believed he was saved. He was in the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees believed that they are saved. The Sadducees believed that they were saved, but they were not. So a person can put on a religious garment and not be saved. How do you know a person is truly saved? Watch, the person's desire to serve is very strong, very real. And he will not only serve, he will serve with a sense of responsibility and accountability. And you know what he will do? He will multiply what God has given to him 100-fold. Now, I want to share this with you because this is a principle I built into my heart, into my life 50 years ago, literally, more than that. All the time, I want to ask myself, God has entrusted me with this, that, and the other. What must I do in return, in response? And what does the Lord look for? He's not asking me to do what I cannot do. I may not be musical. I may not be able to play any instrument significantly. But that is not what God wants me to do. I may not write a song. I may not be able to conduct a choir. I may not have all those things here. You know what? That's not what the Lord wants us to be concerned about. The challenge is to ask, how can I serve the Lord? And if I can serve the Lord faithfully, diligently, what I am going to end up with is that I am going to see how the Lord will bless and multiply the effort, the work that I put in. And I can be very sure that with His blessings, I can actually have a hundredfold increase. And this is what we want to see. Is it possible? Yes. Whatever God has given to us, with His word, with the call and the challenge to serve Him, will come the grace, the mercy, the strength, the ability to succeed in our service for God. And that's what we are seeing. So as we think about all these years of ministry as a church at Bethany, this must be our guiding principle, that we are saved and we are going to serve. To save, to serve is a wonderful collaboration of ideas. I am saved and my heart's desire is to serve. And I want to serve with all my heart. And I want to be found responsible and accountable so that I can say when the Lord returns, I can say to Him, Lord, Your talent has earned another talent. Maybe we don't have five or two, but if we can have just one talent, small thing entrusted to us, and we can be found faithful, we will also hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servants. Right? You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. These are precious words of commendation that the Lord can and will give to every good and responsible servant He has in on this earth here. If we love the Lord, if we understand salvation, if He is truly our Savior, then let us seek to be that good, responsible, faithful servant who will bring honor and glory to the Lord by succeeding in whatever service we have been entrusted to do, to serve in. Now, you could be a teacher, you could be a principal, you could be a medical doctor, you could be a therapist, you could be an accountant, you could be a lawyer, whatever. You could be a clerk. It doesn't matter. The point of it all is you do your very best and the Lord will truly bless in every sense of the word. May we be found faithful. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for another word of exhortation and a reminder. Help us to have this thought of serving You further reinforced so that we can be that faithful servant that You want us to be and responsible as well. So we ask that You will grant us Your grace and Your mercy so that we can succeed in whatever we are doing and to do it well. So we pray for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.